is Sheila, and we are Zvi Fat Chicks. In this episode, is actually kind of a somewhat spur-of-the-moment episode, we're going to talk about festival food, carnival food, street food. You know, you have a street fair, and there's food there, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yep, all kinds of different street food.
Street food. The reason we're so motivated and inspired to do this one is because Aurelia has a street festival this weekend.
Yeah, so if you can hear some ambient noise, we're down at Apple Annie's at 101 Mississauga Street East.
Our favorite place to podcast from.
Definitely. The reason why we're inside is because it looks like it might rain, and there was a lot of people walking up and down the street. So
just thought it would be a little easier to be in a slightly controlled environment. So right now, actually, we're sipping on a couple granitas down here, and it's like a slushy made without fruit. And both of ours are mango. They only have the one flavor right now. They're really good.
I think it's like an Italian treat.
Oh, it's
or maybe it just sounds like it is. Just sell it.
Mm-hmm. It's a glorified slushy, but it's not too sweet. It has a lot of fruit flavor to it. So we're cooling off inside right now.
And Tracy mentioned it tastes kind of like bubble tea, but without the bubbles.
Which we haven't discussed. It was in the hot pot episode that we ended up redoing because it didn't come out right. So we forgot to put that part back in. So we're going to do bubble tea another day.
Or will we give it its own show?
We could do its own show for bubble tea. Or we were talking about doing one just on the Pacific Mall food court.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the future holds. But anyway, street food. So obviously, we're going to talk about the differences between like Canadian festival food and American festival food, but let's talk about today. We had
a hot Italian sausage.
Delicious.
That we split from Sunshine Barbecue, and we had some chip truck poutine. For those American listeners that may not be familiar with it, poutine is French fries, gravy, and cheese curd, and it was reputedly invented in Quebec. It's a French-Canadian snack, but here you get it pretty much everywhere.
It's a French-Canadian heart attack.
And the best fast food poutine we've ever had has been from A&W, mm-hmm. because the gravy is not salty. It's just perfect. And they actually use cheese curd, which usually whenever you get it from a chain, it's just mozzarella.
Mm-hmm. And not just chains. The chip truck, it was mozzarella, but that's probably easier for them to get and deal with than getting tons and tons of cheese curd.
Yeah.
And the chip truck companies that are here is Captain Cook DeFries. And chip trucks are something that aren't really, as far as I know, an American thing. I've never run into them.
I mean, maybe they have them in the Northeast, like
maybe.
But I never saw any. Like when we were in Vermont, when I was in Maine, when we went through Massachusetts, I never saw anything like it. I don't know if it's like a European thing that we've done, or if it's like a mobile fish and chip truck, and then we just kind of lost the fish along the way, or what.
Well, that one did actually have fish on the menu, too, so some of them may still sell fish. I'm going to go with, you know, they're probably around in the States, but they're few and far between. Versus here, you can't swing a dead cat without finding a chip truck. You're going to hit one of them no matter what you do. It's like a Tim Hortons. You know, wait a block, there'll be another Tim Hortons. Wait two blocks, there'll be another chip truck. So that's something I really dig in Canadian culture, because the fries are very fresh. The fries are tasty.
They're
most of the ones we've had have been fresh-cut fries, hand-cut
yeah.
fries, which that brings back a lot of memories for me. But dip into the American kind of like carnival festival food culture is at Kennywood in Pittsburgh. Nice amusement park, old amusement park, and one of the things they're kind of known for in the area is the potato patch. Potato patch fries at Kennywood, I don't know what, they taste better than any place else. Mm. And that's one of the things, if you go to Kennywood, you have to go to right underneath the Thunderbolt, right by the entrance for the Thunderbolt roller coaster, and go to the potato patch stand and get fries. And chip truck fries almost remind me of potato patch fries. Not quite. They're still a little bit off, but it's just almost dead on.
Do you see a difference in the condiments that are offered?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, in the States, there's ketchup, and that's usually it. Maybe if you go to some place that's a little bit more, not almost say cultured, but a little bit more bohemian, they might have mayonnaise out for you.
Mm.
Here, you've got
Malt vinegar.
White vinegar. They had some seasonings out at Captain Cook DeFries. Other seasonings besides just salt and pepper. So there's a difference in some of the seasonings you can get on your fries. And
we have that British kick.
Stuff.
We just can't get rid of the malt vinegar.
Oh, I love malt vinegar. I remember going to Long John Silver's. It's a fast food fish chain. I know Canadians get the commercials. I don't think you actually have any up here.
I think there's like one in Scarborough.
Mm-hmm. I remember going there as a kid, though, and whenever you got fish, you always just poured the malt vinegar on it. You didn't even just, like, dash it on. You just kind of opened the top up and just flooded your plate. That was the only time I ever had fish with malt vinegar until, like, I came up here and went to get real fish. But that's another show.
Yes.
So that's what we had today. A couple other things we've noticed is,
well, let's see. There's the
candy floss.
Candy floss. It's cotton candy, but we call it candy floss. We certainly know what cotton candy is, but our name for it is candy floss. Because it's, if you think about it, it's like fine threads of sugar.
Yeah.
So it's candy floss.
Well, it was an interesting exchange between Sheila and I when we were waiting for our sausage yesterday. I looked over, I'm like, what's candy floss? Because there's a candy stand behind us. She's like, you know, candy floss. Candy floss? She's like, you know, the big fluffy stuff that's sweet. I'm like, oh, cotton candy. Yeah, candy floss. Oh, cotton candy. No, it's candy floss. No, it's cotton candy. Okay, it's candy floss. I'll just give in and call it that. Which, if you've never given cotton candy to a dog, you have to. That's hysterical. Because, especially if you get one of the smushed-in face dogs, because they don't just eat it, then they snort on it, and then it starts to melt, and then they try to eat it more, and then they're sitting there trying to chew it, because they know they bit something, but there's nothing left in their mouth because it's dissolved. We had a Japanese chin when I was growing up. I used to love giving them cotton candy. That was just a fun experience. So.
One of the other things that, well, they don't have one here, but I do notice that's like carnival food. If you ever go to like carnivals or street fairs or anything up here, they have a little donut machine, and it's this little square box with windows in it, and it's got a little river of hot oil. It almost looks like it's a miniature Krispy Kreme factory.
I'm just thinking, it's like a miniature Krispy Kreme. Like a Krispy Kreme on wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that would be so good.
So there's usually somebody there, and they push the button and start the thing going, and it drops a bunch of batter into the hot oil, and it floats along, and then it has these little arms that flip it out of the oil into like a little basket, usually with a paper towel for draining, to drain all the grease off, and then they dust it with sugar, like powdered sugar usually.
Confectioner's sugar.
Confectioner's sugar.
Don't call it powdered sugar.
Yeah, and then you get your bag of little donuts, and it usually comes in a little paper bag that you can see through by the end, because the grease all soaks into it.
And then you eat the paper bag. No. But it makes a heck of a fire starter. You need to start a campfire. Grease-soaked paper always works really well for that.
And then that, speaking of fried things, leads into funnel cakes.
Oh, funnel cakes. Now, I need to do a little research on this again. This is more of a spur-of-the-moment podcast, so I didn't look anything up ahead of time. I distinctly remember at some point hearing that funnel cakes are kind of a Pennsylvania Dutch thing. I could be wrong on that. I'm going to try to follow up on it and see what we can dig up. But there aren't a lot of funnel cakes up here, and I miss it. We've been to two little festival kind of things so far. I've been craving funnel cakes. We went to the Winter Festival, the Winter Carnival, Winter Fair, whatever they call it, and then this here, and there's no funnel cake booths.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what a funnel cake is, because we've run into a few people who look at me blankly when I describe them, what a funnel cake is, it's a heavy kind of batter, and you usually put it into a pastry bag or some kind of pourer, and you have a vat of hot grease, like a French fry vat, and you pour the hot grease. No, you don't pour the hot grease. Don't touch the hot grease. That would be very, very bad. You take the funnel cake batter and you drizzle it in a circular pattern, and you make this like Swiss cheesed looking funnel cake pastry.
It's like a giant malformed donut that's made out of Belgian waffle batter.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. So the inside kind of tastes like a Belgian waffle, but the outside's kind of greasy and crispy like a donut. And when it cooks, it forms up really fast. It hardens up really fast. You flip it over to brown the other side. You whip it out of the batter, and you let it drain for a minute or two, and then you sprinkle it with just powdered sugar. You can have them just that way. Or if you get the fancy funnel cakes, you pay the extra like $2. You can get ice cream and whipped cream and strawberries on them. And this is something, anytime you go where I grew up to a festival of some kind, a carnival, if you go to an amusement park, they will have funnel cakes. Now, they have them here at Canada's Wonderland. We went to Wasega, and they had something they called a funnel cake that was terrible.
But negative review.
I know. I didn't say who or where. I didn't say who. I just said at Wasega Beach. There was an establishment, and it wasn't the place that's called Funnel Cakes or something. It was some other little place. There's a funnel cake.
It was like a pizza place. Yeah. There's your problem. Yes. Don't get a funnel cake from a pizza place.
I was an idiot. So let's just stop here. I'm an idiot. Next time we go back, we're going to that other place that was like advertising funnel cakes. We're idiots for passing that up. So, but it's something I haven't run into. I miss it. But you can make them at home. My dad's made them at home before, and they're dead easy to do. You just have to have the grease going.
Well, most carnival food is fast, easy, and cheap. And rarely
and greasy.
Do you get all three at once, unless you're talking about pizza or carnival food or street food.
No, I want to talk about the sausages, though.
Yes.
Because that is something that is so unique to up here.
Yeah, I don't really remember
seeing
that.
Canadian Tire sausages. No. Yeah. You only saw it, maybe if you go to, like, a big city or you go to a tourist area, you'll see it. Like, I kind of remember in, you know, downtown D.C. seeing, like, hot dog carts set up. And remember in downtown Morgantown at night, the sausage, the hot dog guy comes
out. Yeah, and I know they have street meat in Toronto where they have, like, hot dog carts. And same thing with New York City, obviously.
But here you see it away from tourist areas.
And it's not hot dogs, usually. It's mostly a focus on sausages.
Oh, they're so good.
Like, hot Italian sausages, mild Italian sausages.
Mm-hmm. We usually you see them outside of a Canadian Tire, and it's...
Which is a local hardware chain.
See, I can't believe I forgot to say that. I'm going native.
Yeah, you are.
But they have these, like, little, like, grill carts set up, and it's an independent thing. It's not owned by the Canadian Tire.
No.
And they sell sausage and hot dogs, and you can even buy the raw ones at the one up here. They have, like, a separate section. You can buy, like, 5 raw ones for $4 or something.
I think it's, like, it's a preferred location for independent sausage makers and sellers to set up, because they know guys that go to Canadian Tire are going to want to eat.
Yeah.
Let's build a deck and grab a couple sausages.
Well, if you're a contractor or a mechanic and you're stopping to pick some stuff up, it's a fast and cheap lunch. Now, the first time I had this was a couple years ago. We came up to visit, and Sheila, we went to Canadian Tire for something, and Sheila said, I want a Canadian Tire sausage. I haven't had one in years. I said, all right, let's go buy a Canadian Tire sausage. At the time, they were $3. And this was, like, what, 2003?
Mm-hmm.
2002. So we go to get a sausage, and I pay for it, and I look at her, you know, early 2000s, American used to cheap food. I say, this better be the best damn sausage I've ever had in my life for $3. And it was. It was flavorful. The skin had a nice snap to it. It had that smoky grill taste to it.
Mm.
It wasn't too spicy, but it had a little heat. They sell mild ones, too. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And now that we've moved up here, we've hit the Canadian Tire here for sausage a couple times, and the people that sell them are actually selling them down the street here at the festival, and they're so tasty.
They're delicious.
That was the high point of Aaron. We mentioned Aaron before for the scale of 1 to 5 of how full you will be, and Aaron is a 5. If it's a 5, that means even Aaron would be stuffed. The normal person would stop at a 3. And the high point of Aaron's visit to see us, I think, was in Toronto. Mm. We got off the subway. He got to have some street meat.
It was pretty delicious.
Yeah, he had one too. He said it was pretty good, but
that
just cracks me up.
Because, like, the all beef hot dogs, they're not like wiggly little, how can I say this politely?
The puny little hot dogs you buy in the grocery store that you want to eat 3 of them before you even start to feel full as a normal person. No, these are like the big beefy, like, pound dogs, or quarter pounder dogs, usually.
Yeah.
They're not foot
usually all beef.
But they're thicker and beefier. They're really good. So that's a favorite of mine up here so far. This might be a good time to actually throw in butter tarts, because there are butter tart sellers up and down the street, different places. Go for it. This is your country's food at this point.
So, the butter tart is something, apparently, the first recipe for the butter tart was about 100 years ago. And the best way I can describe it would be, it's kind of like
heaven. It is as if heaven fell down to you in a pastry, and you ate it.
Okay, imagine a pecan pie in smaller tart format, but gooier on the inside, less, well, it depends, like, on the butter tart recipe, but some are more set, like a pecan tart or pecan pie, and some are more gooey and runny, like a brown sugar buttery syrup
caramely
of goodness.
Oh, and they're always all oozy.
Sometimes there's raisins in them, sometimes there's not, sometimes there's chocolate chips in them, depends on where you're getting them from, sometimes there's nuts in them. Everybody can pretty much agree that it's like a Canadian original thing. It just kind of sprung up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a tradition that's carried on forever. And most places have their own butter tart recipes and butter tart traditions. And everyone claims to have the best one. But it's a fast thing too, because I remember whenever we were making pies for Christmas, whenever we had dough left over, we'd make like these little butter tart things with brown sugar, butter, and egg, I think it was.
Yeah. It's a really simple recipe. And no, I've had pecan tarts in the States. They're not the same. They're the closest thing I can think of to it, but they're not the same thing at all. So if you're coming up north to visit, go get a butter tart. Go get a dozen. Take them home. Spread the word. Become a evangelistical butter tart apostle.
Yes.
That would be great. I want a religion based on butter tarts. I've really taken to the food up here, as you can tell, and butter tarts are one of those things that I had to slow down on them. So we have a vendor where we work that sells them, and I was up to a butter tart a day habit, which is very bad for you. I've eased back to about maybe one every payday, except for special occasions. So, they're darn good. What else do we want to throw out there? Kettle corn. That's something we've seen in both places for festival food.
Kettle corn, where it's... Was it originally a Pennsylvania Dutch thing? Who knows?
Who knows? Let's just say everything came from the Pennsylvania Dutch.
Except for butter tarts.
Cover all of our bases.
Butter tarts came from Canadians.
No, it came from Pennsylvania Dutch that moved up here.
Oh, I see.
And the poutine really were Pennsylvania Dutch that got blown off course on the ocean and ended up in
and
Quebec.
And in Quebec. Gotcha.
No, it's not really. Please don't believe us. We lie.
So, we're just making stuff up now. But kettle corn, big, big cauldron, bunch of oil, bunch of popcorn. Pop it up and sugar mm-hmm. and salt on it, right?
Sorry, I had a mouthful of granita there. It's pretty much popcorn made in a big kettle, but the special part is you put the sugar on it, and it forms, it's not quite like caramel corn, because it's not as thickly coated. It just has a nice, light, slightly crunchy layer of sugar on the outside, so you get the sweet and the salty at the same time. It reminds me, in contrast, of a chocolate-covered pretzel, except there's no chocolate.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
If you've been living in a cave, which I apparently had been until I was like 21 or 22, and you've never had kettle corn before, and you like chocolate-covered pretzels, you'll probably love it. Unfortunately, it's expensive now.
Yeah.
It's like $3 for this tiny little bag that I can eat in 5 minutes if I don't pace myself. And the dog sits there and begs while I'm eating it. I'm like, no, this is too good for you. You can't have it. Oop, I think the espresso machine's going again.
Ice cream?
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of a street food.
I haven't really seen any around.
No, I know you can get those at Carnival and Festival. Ice cream cones, but banana splits. But that's a kind of an anywhere place thing. Mm. Now, female sandwiches are something I've seen up and down the street walking around at some of the different vendors, which, again, totally Canadian thing. If you tuned into the breakfast show, you know exactly what a pinot sandwich is. It's kind of impressive. You can grab that and run.
Oh, I guess we could branch out into international street food. Now, I've never had this before. I've seen it on menus at sushi bars, but there's a stuff called yakitori, which is a Japanese street vendor food. And what it is, it's a skewer with thinly sliced pieces of meat or put onto it, kind of like a shish kebab, and grilled over usually like a hibachi or a charcoal type fire. So this is a nice segue into your Chinese street food.
Yes, there was street meat, yakitori style stuff in China. Ate it once. It wasn't bad. I don't know if I would do it again, because after you eat it, you give the skewers back, and I didn't see any place to wash them. And yeah, you know, the skewer heats up, except for the part that's in the middle of the meat. So
it's kind of like Victorian England or something with the penny licks, where they'd have like this little scoop that they take a scoop of ice cream out and give it to you to eat, and then when you were done eating it, you gave a little thing back, and they'd scoop a new one out and give it to the next person.
That's exactly what it was like. But yeah, the Chinese street food, there's a ton of stuff. There was fish like that. We went to the one place and they had these little tiny fishes skewered on it. You had to eat around the bones. So when you're done, you have a stick with like a spine and some bones left on it. That was kind of weird. And there's these little apple-y things that are covered in like a red caramel. And they're disgusting, but they're everywhere. And it was so weird because we were watching Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and one of the scenes where we're kind of in a marketplace, there's a vendor sitting there with all these little sticks of these little red balls, because it's a long stick, about a foot long, and there are these little red fruit things. They kind of taste like crab apples on the stick, and then they're dipped in the red stuff, the crunchy, sugary, disgusting red stuff. And they're stuck in these posts, like lollipops, and they're usually everywhere at the vendors, and it was in the movie.
And Tracy jumped up, oh, those things are disgusting, I hate them.
And those are probably, they probably are the same ones that were there 100 years ago that were in Beijing, because nobody buys them. I think I saw like 50 eating them the entire time I was there. Another weird street food you can get was sugar cane.
Oh, yeah.
You can get it, they whack off a hunk of sugar cane, and you just walk around and eat the sugar cane and suck the sugar out and spit out the pulp.
Now, you've been
that
to,
was weird.
You've been to Europe. What kind of street food did they have there?
Ooh, I'm doing my happy dance right now. I was in France for a little bit, and I don't recall much about the trip. I was 15 and young and hormonal, and I was on a band trip, and it was just crazy scary. But in Germany, I went twice. My sister and brother-in-law lived there, because my brother-in-law was in the military. And one thing I distinctively remember, I was even young with them, but I remember more from there longer, is pretzels. Everywhere you go, there's a bakery or there's a vendor selling pretzels. And these are good pretzels.
So
these
it's not
are
just
like
a stereotype then. There's actually people walking around with a big pole with pretzels on it.
Well, I was in Bavaria too. Well, so okay. That part of it. But yeah, and you get pretzels everywhere and they're great pretzels. And it's, you know how you go to the mall and you get Auntie Anne pretzels?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of greasy. These aren't at all, but they're good as that. You know how if you go to like, I don't know, Sam's Club and you get one of their hot pretzels and it's sitting on their light forever and they're kind of stale and gross?
Yeah, no. Hot and twisted.
Those are, you might as well tell it. We'll get packed in pretzels. Go ahead. You want to.
Well, my friend Rick and I had gone up to Costco, and we were standing in line waiting to purchase whatever it was that we were getting. And I looked at the sign, and it said hot pretzel twists. And all I saw was hot and twisted. I did a double take, and Rick's like, what? What's wrong? I'm like, I thought that sign over there said hot and twisted. He's like, what? You mean kind of like you?
That's Sheila, hot and twisted, just the way I like her. So, back to pretzels. So yeah, they're everywhere in Germany, and that's branching off of street food for a second. That's a couple times we went to get lunch, Michelle, Jeff, and I. We would go get just, like, a couple rolls at the bakery, go to the butcher, get, a 100 grams of sliced, you know, ham or salami or something, a little bit of cheese, and get a pretzel. Or just a pretzel and a drink, and that was a good lunch. Another thing I remember is a couple of the times we went downtown, there was, like, a festival going on, is besides the giant glasses of beer, the giant
the
mugs that come in these, like, clay-looking glasses, but they're not clay. It's like a pottery.
Stein?
It's not a stein. It's like a plain pottery. You know that little one I have from Kaltenberg?
Yeah.
Big versions of that.
So it looks like a giant, tall coffee mug.
Yeah. So you could get a big old cup of that, or you could get a small cup of wine, and it was a miniature version of those giant mugs, and you could get wine in it or soda. And when you go, you pay almost like a deposit on it. If you don't bring your cup back, you don't get your deposit back, but you get to keep the cup.
That's a cool souvenir ever.
Yeah, because they always have like a little symbol or a decal on it from whatever was going on. Or you can just keep it and you don't get your deposit. Or you take it back and they'll give you your deposit back. Or you can just take it up and get a refill and you only pay for the refill. And then you can keep the mug.
See, that's the kind really of cool. Reduce, reuse, recycle that I can get behind.
Oh, heck yeah. It's cool as heck. That's where I have one cup I saved. It was from, we went to Kaltenberg. It's kind of like a giant Renaissance festival, but it puts everything I've ever seen here to shame. Because, you know, they actually had, like, castles and stuff.
Well, yeah.
So that was a neat street kind of thing. So, I don't know, I'm running out of stuff. This was, again, a spur of the moment. We're not as prepared as we normally are, but I think we've kind of made our point. Street food is tasty. Don't be a food snob. Go out and get a grilled sausage off some guy standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Try new stuff. If you've never had kettle corn, crawl out from under the rock and go get some. So I guess that's it. See you next time.
This is Tracy.
This is Sheila.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Vi Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can email us at zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod, and we hope that you have a great day.